Hello and welcome to Technology and the Arts, a podcast exploring the connections between technology and art. This is your co-host, Brian Kelly. Episode 61 of the podcast features lightly edited audio from a live Google Plus Hangout on air John Lemazny and I conducted August 12, 2013. In this installment, we discuss building websites with WordPress, Scratch, an MIT-developed visual programming environment and toolkit, Andrew Wong's cover of the Breaking Bad theme with items you might find in a meth lab, and Loop, an iPad app for creating short hand-drawn animations. All that and more is just ahead on Technology and the Arts for Friday, August 16th, 2013. Now, here are your hosts, Brian Kelly and John Lemazny. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Technology and the Arts, where we will explore the connections between technology and art. My name is Brian Kelly, and I am joined by John Lemazny. John, how are you doing?
Hey, Brian, how are you?
Excellent. Thank you. Sorry, usually you do your own introduction, but I'm a little flustered right now.
Well, I learned from last week not to jump in on your train.
There was a little snafu on my end, so we're running early and late at the same time. So we are ripping a hole through the space-time continuum at this moment.
So to speak.
Yes. So, John, what you been up to lately?
Well, I'm continuing on with my consulting business. I had some interesting work this week, working on WordPress for a couple of clients, and we're doing relaunches of various websites, and I'm never so happy as when I am able to utilize WordPress to help people to publish in effective, beautiful, and extensible ways. And it's always interesting and fun to learn yet another way in which tools like WordPress can solve problems.
Excellent. Anything else going on?
Yeah. This week we are going to be doing Scratch classes. I don't know if we've talked about Scratch in the past. I think we might have actually talked about it a little bit last week. Scratch is a project from MIT that is really meant for people to get started with programming using Lego-like simplicity, putting blocks together in order to get something done. And in fact, the phenomenon of Scratch is referred to as block programming. And instead of typing in a command like 10 print hello, you might put in a block that says hello and then add another block to it that allows you to sequence commands in the same way that you would in BASIC or C or JavaScript or anything else. But it's a visual paradigm, and it makes it very easy for people to begin to understand program thinking. And that's at scratch.mit.edu. And it's now cloud-based. It used to be a downloadable application that you can install on Windows, Mac, or Linux. Now you can just visit in your browser, sign in with your account, a free account, and begin to use Scratch in the same way that you would have previously. So Scratch tends to be associated with a younger set of users, usually, you know, like third grade and up. And this week is no different. At Princeton Public Library, we're going to be talking to middle school students about using Scratch in order to begin to understand programming.
Excellent. I have nothing to add personally this week. It's just been a very hectic week. Lots of change going on professionally. And so not much going on artistically or technology-wise. As I mentioned last week, I'm just slowly working on some new music. And what's odd, though, is that I was kind of – when I started this, I was kind of leading into one direction. And now since I started that, I keep on getting these ideas that are in a completely different direction. So it's probably going to be even slower than I thought, because I'm probably going to just scrap everything I've been doing and go back into this other direction. But we'll see.
Well, I have an interesting story about that, actually. Because you sound like you are saying that, you know, you're going to have to scrap it, like throw it away. And when I was in my undergrad classes, I took a class in figure modeling, right, for sculpture. Mm-hmm. And one of my teachers relayed a story about her figure modeling experience and the situation where she learned a great deal. And she had worked on this head for weeks, and everybody was progressing along, but she was really working on perfecting this nose on this face head. And she had it just perfect. She had it exactly the size, shape, and look and feel of the model. And her teacher came along, noticed that she was really just focusing on the nose, and punched in the nose after weeks of work. And my teacher was devastated. She was so upset. But what she had realized was that the reason the teacher did this was to sort of break her from just working on one particular idea, and to make her realize that she was able, because of the work that she had done on the nose, be able to get the nose right back up to where it was very, very quickly, and not feel so precious about it. And I always thought that was a very interesting story, because sometimes when I find myself sort of focusing too much on one aspect and not the whole, I sort of think about that story and want to punch in the nose of that project and start to work more broadly. So maybe that's time for you to do that.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I'm trying to figure out ways to incorporate kind of some of the new ideas into what I was doing to try to make it more cohesive. So I think some of those ideas will live on, and a lot of them, but just trying to figure out. Yeah, you know, and I think that makes the music more interesting, you know, instead of, you know, focusing. And, you know, I've never really been tied down to genre. I go all over the place. So, but I was thinking more electronically, more electronic music again. And, you know, I'm kind of looking at progressive. I actually did this one song. I don't remember when I posted it. It was earlier this year, I believe. But, oh, yeah, it was after I saw Majeure in January at World Cafe Live in Philly. And for those of you who don't know who Majeure is, he's the unspoken hero of Band Aid and Live Aid. He's the one who actually did most of the writing on Do They Know It's Christmas? And, you know, nobody knows who Majeure is. But he's a genius. He's a legend. And I know that. And he's one of my idols. But he was also, you know, lead singer of Ultravox, is, because they are still around. They just put out a new album last year as well, and they got back together. But it was, I kind of was doing this electronic. I was kind of inspired by the Ultravox song Vienna, and kind of did this real 80s sounding digital piano thing through it. Through the song to give it like this kind of classic feel, but still kind of natural, kind of offsetting the electronic stuff going on. But then towards the end, it built up into this almost like progressive rock thing. So that was, you know, some of what Ultravox did was like that. And Vienna is like that. There's like this, it's a very slow song, and then it just, there's this build up with these synthesized strings that come in, and it just kicks up a notch. But anyway, so now I said I didn't have anything to talk about, and I've just wasted about 5 minutes. So I'm hoping to do some more of that, something that's kind of breaks down genres and goes into different areas. So that's all I have to say at this point. So what do you want to talk about this week as far as getting in depth or in focus or in perspective, as we used to say?
Well, there's a lot of things to talk about. I know that one of the things you wanted to talk about was an aspect of Breaking Bad, and I guess I wanted to talk about that too.
Oh, okay. Well, Andrew Huang did this video, and it's kind of gone viral. I've seen it on several posts. And let me see if I can screen share this. Let's see. Let me see how this works out.
We're going to watch a clip, right?
Yes, yes. We're only going to watch a little bit, if at all.
Did you happen to see the Stephen Colbert bit where...
I actually saw it live because I was down here working, and I just happened to put it on, and I was like,
Let's set it up. So,
okay.
Def Punk was supposed to be on Stephen Colbert, backed out at the last minute.
Yeah, well, that's the story. That didn't really happen, though.
What happened?
It was clearly a publicity stunt for Daft Punk, just to kind of promote the fact, without promoting the fact, that Daft Punk was making a surprise appearance on the MTV Video Music Awards. But Stephen Colbert said that they were going to be on. They had no intention of being on. Because how was Robin Thicke going to get his band together and do like this elaborate number that they wound up doing as a stand-in act at the last minute? That doesn't happen. So it turned out he taped that like days before. He was in New York City.
For them to be able to do that bit, you know, they had the cast of Breaking Bad, and they had...
Right. And so the whole thing was staged. I mean, there was Daft Punk was never going to be on it, but they came up with this idea of promoting a surprise appearance by Daft Punk on Colbert or promoting the appearance of Daft Punk on Colbert while not promoting the surprise appearance on the Video Music Awards. That's how I'm trying to say.
Well, regardless of why it happened,
it was awesome. Yes,
it was awesome. Amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and whatever they did to make it believable, it was an amazing feat to be able to bring all those people together and to have such a funny set of images and to, you know, have such a memorable experience about such a great song from a great album from a great band, and all in good fun, it seems like.
Yeah, up all night to have fun, up all night to get some. That was my summer jam for this year until Mayor Hawthorne came along, and now his album has been my I've been listening to that like crazy. I love that new album of his. Where does this door go? All right, so let me get to my screen share here. Let's see if this works.
Yeah, not hearing it.
Nope.
But we could talk over it. So I guess I wanted to talk about, too, I have recently moved away from Spotify to Google Play Music. All Access.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw the links for that, and I was it was weird. I saw the link. I clicked on it, but I wasn't sure what I was looking at.
Well, so what I shared was my playlist from Google Play Music All Access, and the thing is that unlike Spotify, you wouldn't be able to listen to the playlist unless you either subscribe to All Access or had those songs present in your library. So you'd only be able to listen to previews. But the thing is that I had already collected a large amount of my music, all of my music, really, in Google Music. And so it only made sense that I not have a secondary place where music existed in Spotify, but rather be able to do all of that in one place. So it's just so much more convenient because I'm in the Android ecosystem, and Google Play Music works so well on my phone comparative to Spotify that it made sense for me to move to Google Play Music and be able to not only have all of my music that I've uploaded to the cloud, but also a whole lot of other music. But the only thing was that I had spent a lot of time in Spotify making these beautiful playlists. And the problem is that Spotify makes it so difficult to leave, so difficult to walk away from Spotify, because they don't give you the ability to share the playlist. They don't give you the ability to very easily migrate that to another place. Now, I haven't tried to do it with Google Music, but one of the things that Google tends to do is make it easy to walk away. So I'm hoping that the next time some great music service comes along, that they make it as easy as they would to walk away from Google Docs or Google Plus or any of their other services.
Cool. Wow, there's a delay here.
Yes, there's a delay.
So I don't know if you saw, though, coming out of the screen share, I did my usual thing of not unclicking my box. So sorry, for most of that, I was on camera and not you. Sorry about that.
Yeah, there's no way for me to tell that that's going on. That's part of the responsibility of
Of the camera operator. Why am I so this is a very glitchy night.
I'm not sure.
Okay, I can't even watch myself because I'm so far behind.
Maybe you should not watch yourself, but maybe just participate.
Okay. Anything else, John?
Let's see. I ordered a Chromecast a couple days after the launch of the Chromecast. Still have not gotten it and probably will not get it until September, sadly.
That's depressing.
Oh, and I was walking around Office Depot today because I was looking for a computer desk, because I need sort of a small computer desk to be able to set up a workstation. And while I was doing that, I was walking around looking at the price of monitors, you know, like HDMI monitors. And I saw several beautiful monitors for like $100. And the really interesting thing to me is that I don't need it to have a great deal of functionality. I just need it to be a monitor. And I want to get a Raspberry Pi and an HDMI-capable monitor and have a $135 all-in-one workstation.
Nice.
Isn't that exciting?
That is exciting.
Yeah, I thought that was exciting.
I would love to have a setup like that. I just don't have the time right now to play with Raspberry Pi. I wish I did.
Oh, it's so simple though.
I know.
It really is. I mean, it's an image on an SD card. You plug in all the plugs. You plug in Ethernet. You plug in HDMI. You plug in USB for power. You plug in USB keyboard and mouse. And if you want, you can plug in an external storage device, and you have a beautiful workstation, a beautiful way to run Linux, at least, or Android for that matter.
Yeah, I'll hopefully get around to playing with that stuff. I'd like to.
$135, that's less than a tablet, you know?
I acknowledge that. By the way, a little bit of breaking news, since I'm not going to talk about you know what. I am going to mention that BBC America apparently announced tonight that they are going to broadcast Torchwood Miracle Day, which was originally broadcast on Starz. It was a Starz BBC partnership. But I don't know when that's coming on, but check out BBC America, because apparently a Torchwood Miracle Day is coming to that network.
So related to that, you just asked me to go watch BBC America, and we had talked a little bit about Breaking Bad. The issue there is that I am a cable cutter.
Right.
And so I was sort of perplexed about how best to watch Breaking Bad this season, because I left Verizon Fios television before the season started, months ago.
All right.
And I'll just say here that I ended up torrenting it because I was so desperate to see the show. But it turns out that I could have gone to Amazon, downloaded the episode today for $2. So I think that I'm going to go legit next week.
Wow.
Well, I mean, I'm not a big torrenter anyway, you know.
Yeah.
But,
and neither am I anymore, you know. Now that Doctor Who is on the same day, there's no real point.
Yeah, but I mean, I can't even watch it legitimately without purchasing it somewhere.
Right.
But I'd much rather pay the $2 to Amazon. And as a matter of fact, I have the remainder of a gift card on Amazon that'll probably get me through the rest of the season.
Excellent. Yeah. And actually, speaking of which, you know, it was a kind of a cool thing that BBC America did. ITV, which gave the world Downton Abbey,
great
has another.
Show.
Yes. It has another series on that aired earlier this year called Broadchurch, which is a murder mystery. And there's a lot of Doctor Who and Torchwood connections. Starting with David Tennant is one of the stars of the show, and he was the 10th Doctor. But his partner, Olivia Colman, who's played by Olivia Colman, was actually had a bit part in The 11th Hour, which was Matt Smith's first episode as the Doctor. And Arthur Darvill, who played Rory Williams in Doctor Who, he's in it. Chris Chibnall, who is a Doctor Who and Torchwood writer, he created it. So there's a lot of Doctor Who and Torchwood connections. So that's what it first attracted me to it. But apparently, when it aired, it was a huge hit, and BBC America is airing it. But they actually put the entire first episode on YouTube, on their YouTube channel, which I thought was nice to get people hooked. But I would like to see more of that happen, where, you know, maybe a debut, pilot or series premiere. And it does happen, you know, it gets, you know, put on iTunes or, YouTube for free. But I'd like to see more of that. All right. One quick thing I also want to talk about was this application Loop for iPad and iPhone. I know that depresses you. I don't think there is a Android equivalent yet, but let me.
It's interesting that you even say that, because apparently there's a surge now in Android only applications. There's new developers who are coming out and recognizing that there's a huge Android community and that the iOS platform is beginning to wane a bit.
Yes. All right, so here is it's by Universal Everything, and it's basically like it's basically a digital equivalent of the old flipbooks. You know, where, you know, you draw like stick figures or quick drawings and do a frame by frame, and then you'd flip it and it would create motion. That's basically what you get. It's kind of like a combination of Vine and hand-drawn animation, where you can create these quick animated videos. And let me go to the gallery, the Loop gallery here. Oh, and this is kind of interesting too. The UI is hand drawn as well. So you have this. Can you see my cursor?
I can.
Okay, so you have like this stuff going on with the for the menu for the user interface. And go to the Loop gallery here. Yeah, just fun little hand drawn animations. And I guess I guess what I always I just saw Hot Fuzz again for the first time in a while, and I. You know, there's that scene where Nick Frost's character is, you know, showing Simon Pegg's character how he uses his notebook, his investigation notebook, and he just draws the cop shooting the robber as a flipbook. But so it's just kind of a cool little app, and I think it's was it $2.99 in the App Store? It's actually only 99 cents. So yeah, it's a cheap little app, and. You know, might be something to pass the time and be a little more interesting than some Vine videos I've seen. So that's Loop by Universal Everything for iPhone and iPad. Anything else, John?
No, I think we're good.
Okay, so it was a quick show. Sorry about the delay at the beginning. I have no idea why that was happening. Hopefully we'll get that Scratch tutorial on one of these episodes when we're not rushing.
Yeah, we should probably plan that for next week because it's a really great application. I'll be able to give some feedback about how the class went in class one. I think we're doing either two or three classes.
Cool. So let's wrap this up, and we'll be back next week. I guess time to be determined.
Yeah. Sarah tends to be better, quite honestly. But if we need to do 10, we can do 10.
If you want to change it to 9.
Well, we can probably have this conversation offline.
Yeah, that's probably better. Okay. Thank you for joining us on another episode of Technology and the Arts. Come back and watch us next week. And also follow us on our blog at technologyandthearts.com. Follow us on Twitter at tech_arts. You can join our Google Plus circle, and go to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/technologyandthearts. For Technology and the Arts, this is Brian Kelly.
And this is John Lemazny. Take care.
The thoughts and views expressed by the host of Technology and the Arts do not necessarily represent those of guests of the program. Conversely, the thoughts and views expressed by guests of Technology and the Arts do not necessarily represent those of the hosts. For more information about the podcast you have just heard, please visit Technology and the Arts on the web at technologyandthearts.com.